who was Hervé before Dajah Group?
I'll say it started when I joined my university. I did finance.
Whenever I looked at the balance sheet, my head just like...
It was boring.
Yeah, it was boring, you know?
For example, for artists, a song has two parts,
yes.
Master and the publisher. They need to take their song as an asset or as a house. Mm-hmm.
What makes your approach different to accounting?
So we are mostly tech-driven. Most consulting firms who run that, they only focus on end reports. Mm-hmm. They are not into daily life of their clients.
You had the first workshop. Remind me, what was it on about?
It was on financial literacy, mostly the basics. Budgeting, pricing, and taxation.
In your background, there's always going to be a little bit of accounting.
Yeah.
Can we say it like that?
Yeah, sure. All right. I've been an accountant.
All right. Thank you, fellow activators. Welcome back again to the Activate podcast. Today's episode will be exploring everything about finance, accounting, and we'll be visiting some of the history of the friendship between me and our guest. So today's guest is Hervé Mouvouni Clister. He's a really good friend of mine. We met a long time ago, but recently we again met again in their workshop on financial literacy. And I'd like to shape this podcast as a sort of creative, but also kind of like easygoing podcast so that we can learn and also create a little bit more urgency on the importance of accounting. So, Hervé, who was Hervé before Dajah Group?
Thank you, Atali. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'll say it started when I joined my university. I did finance. And later on, I got an internship in an accounting consulting firm. Back then, it's called CAC. It was a French one.
Oh, wow.
It was called back then Cabinet d'audit de comptabilité de commissariat au compte. That's where I started.
Yeah.
That's where I started. And from there, I've got some roles as an accountant and as a chief accountant with different corporates. And I have also been a freelancer, and I've worked on different projects. I can mention one with the city of Kigali. I was working with the Arab consulting engineers, and others are international. And I would say that is my journey, and here I am with Dajah Group.
That's a quite interesting background, but I feel like in your background, there's always going to be a little bit of accounting. Can we say it like that?
Yeah, sure. Like, I've been an accountant. Like, I've been an accountant for like 8 years or almost 10.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So jumping straight into our episode, I'd like to know, when did you decide like it was the right time to make your own firm? Like, what was the trigger?
Thank you. As I was saying, I became a freelancer, like it was in 2019. That's when I decided to be a personal consultant. And luckily, I got an opportunity of a project that was being funded by AU. It was in South Sudan. It was for an enterprise called the Rainmakers Social Enterprise. And that's where I met, that's where I got my wake-up call. That's where I met other senior accountants, and they just shaped how I see accounting as a business and as a tool to help help the community, but also get something out of yourself. Mm-hmm. And from there, as I was saying, I met other senior consultant from different places. One from UK, who is also my co-founder. Mm-hmm. And that's when we decided we do not only have to serve here, we need to establish our own firm. Mm-hmm. And that's where we started. We are in Uganda, mm-hmm. and here in Rwanda.
Okay, that's a good mm-hmm. history, because and the trigger point, because when I think about businesses, usually I'm surrounded by a lot of people who think like who are business like minded. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for you it was more of like the environment you were in also kind of like shaped who you wanted to become, yeah, and yeah. what you wanted to do.
Definitely yes. Not only that opportunity, but also I would even say working with other corporate organization that are based in Rwanda, mm-hmm. it really shaped my vision. Mm-hmm. Even working with the young entrepreneurs who are really hustling and doing great thing, mm-hmm. and I would say that really shaped my vision for the career and the love for my career. Mm-hmm. And I'm still loving it and still pursuing it. I was telling you I'm in my intermediate level of ACCA. Mm-hmm. And I would say this is the start.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. So when you were creating, when you were thinking about creating your own firm, did you see kind of like a gap in the system? Because you mentioned it started, but you were also, it didn't start in Rwanda, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, did you see a small gap in the accounting firm?
Yeah, sure, sure. There is a huge gap. Like our society think accounting services are for corporates, big companies, and I would say everyone struggles with that, with taxes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you need to be a corporate to pay taxes or to handle your taxes. Mm-hmm. I would say startups, even if they don't have capital, but they need strong financial statements to present to their investors or mm-hmm. whenever they need a grant. Small or medium enterprises, they need loans. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't have money, but they need loans. To get loans, you need someone or an intermediate to help you mm-hmm. secure a loan, minimize your interest rate. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's what we basically do.
Yeah. So you say that even individuals, mm-hmm. even corporates, even small businesses, mm-hmm. they all need accounting or accountancy. And when I think about myself, mm-hmm. first off, when I was in high school, when I was in college, whenever I looked at the balance sheet, my head just like...
It was boring.
Yeah, it was boring, you know. But whenever... I see somebody who's interested in accounting, I'm thinking they're really smart. They know what they're doing. They know their math. You know, they can go walk around sheets and everything. So that's me when I think about accounting, right?
Not really. Yeah. I believe it's a career like others.
Okay.
For example, when I see the engineer, I have my friends who are engineers. Mm-hmm. When I check them, man, I could say this work. I'd rather stay in my numbers or in my books instead of doing this. Or for the creatives, man. Have you been with artists?
Not personally, but yeah.
Man, there is a huge work in the studio mm-hmm. behind that 3 minutes song that we get.
Yeah,
and I would say it just depends on your choice. Mm-hmm. And what you've been into. As mm-hmm. I said, I've been in accounting for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So, it's similar. It's just because, it is because I've started from mm-hmm. the ground from it. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't say it's something for just genius only. It's for everyone.
So it's a career and the passion and the drive.
And the passion as well. Yeah, man.
Okay. So Dajer Group. It was created mm-hmm. and it's operating right now.
Yes.
What sort of services do you offer?
We offer quite a number of services, but they are grouped into three. Accounting and auditing, mm-hmm. or auditing and assurance, tax and business advisory. Mm-hmm. And we provide those services to different industries, including tech, creatives, it is mostly called entertainment and music, real estate companies, construction companies, and I'll say we are not only helping them like for their reports or numbers, we are just helping them with clarity.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? What is the benefit of doing this?
Mm-hmm.
How should I scale my business?
Mm-hmm.
How should I automate my operations? That's what we are mainly doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to mention that we've got a tech department.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working on an accounting software.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
I believe we are still looking for partners,
mm-hmm.
as it is still locally hosted.
Mm-hmm.
But with time, I believe we get launched.
That's really interesting, because the way you guys are working, it's mostly you focus on everybody,
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure that they understand that the numbers are mm-hmm. important, because they keep the business flowing.
Yeah.
And without the numbers, there's
bankruptcy. How are you going to take decisions if you don't know your numbers?
Yeah, decision making, mm-hmm. data-driven decision making.
Mm.
That's interesting. And so what makes your approach different to accounting? Like, what makes your approach different? Because other people also have a certain mm-hmm. way they think of accounting. Like, yeah. What's your different approach in your firm?
Apart from having a solid team,
mm-hmm.
Right now we have a team of 8,
mm-hmm.
4 senior accountants, three they are CPAs, they are mm-hmm. certified public accountants,
mm-hmm.
2 legal consultants, mm-hmm. and other 3 junior accountants. Apart from that, as I mentioned, we are mostly tech-driven. Most consulting firm in Rwanda, they only focus on end reports.
Mm-hmm.
They are not into day life of their clients.
Yeah.
They are just when is the deadline for taxes?
Mm-hmm.
When the deadline for the annual reports? And for us, that's not our main thing. We need to be together with our clients, understand them, and so that we, from there, we help them take smarter or good decisions for their businesses.
Okay, that's mm. good. And you mentioned you're tech-driven mm. and tech-centered,
mm.
and I remember you said something in the line to having a software you're mm. packaging or you're working on. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, mostly it's an accounting software. There are popular software like QuickBooks,
mm-hmm.
but for us it's tailored to Rwanda,
to the
economic environment of Rwanda.
Oh, interesting.
And I'll just take you through mm-hmm. the interface and everything,
mm-hmm.
but it's mostly helping businesses manage their businesses and get accurate reports from the data they have entered. Mm-hmm. Mainly, it's helping the business owners, but accountants as well, because mm. you'll be only needing to just record your data. And you will directly get the income statement, balance sheet, statement of equity, statement of cash flow directly from
the software. And so when I'm thinking about bookkeeping, I'm thinking invoices and, you know, sheets, balance sheets and everything.
Expenses. Tracking.
Yeah. Mm. So is there like a connection between business to business, or it's an accountant to the business?
No. Well, mostly it's like bookkeeping, but not in the files, not in papers. Turning those forms, mm-hmm. those forms that have to be filled and later mm-hmm. generate a report aside.
Mm-hmm.
Now you will be only need to record your data in the software and mm-hmm. generate report directly.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You did mention earlier about working with the creatives and helping them with their accounting, you know, and bookkeeping and everything. So why do artists need accounting?
Thank you. Artists need accounting as investors need accounting, as each and every businessman needs accounting. Mm-hmm. I will explain. Let's take an example for musicians. A song is like a house. Mm-hmm. It's something that generates money for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you need to come up with a strategy how to sell it, how you protect it, and to benefit from that assets of yours, mm-hmm. I believe you need a proper accounting. Mm-hmm. That's the gap we've seen, and we've said, what can we do? Mm-hmm. You can tell it's hard to meet the creatives, but as we mentioned earlier, we conducted the workshop Tell to Artist, mm-hmm. thanks to Image Rwanda and the Institut Français. Mm-hmm. And we helped the artist understanding the business side of their career. Mm-hmm. Their tour accounting, mm-hmm. their business valuation, then I would say their catalog valuation. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was a success. The audience really loved it. And we are preparing a second one. With the theme learn how to register, monetize, and sell your catalog or your music.
Okay.
That will be the theme, and
okay.
We are looking forward to having an audience and to really
mm-hmm.
and to really have an impact to the community of artists.
That's interesting, and it's a great initiative because I feel like the creatives, mostly, they believe that their art or their content can be monetized, but they don't think about the background work also that is needed, because that's where accountancy comes in.
Yes.
That's where bookkeeping comes
for
in.
Example, yeah. For example, for artists, a song has two parts,
yes.
The master and the publishing.
Mm-hmm.
To claim publishing royalties, you need to be having a good accounting or a good administrative environment.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you don't, you will miss those royalties, and they are almost 40 or 50% of the whole income.
Wow.
So artists are really losing a lot because of that, but some that we've met already, we are in the process of restructuring their side of business,
mm-hmm.
and it's really going well. And we are hopeful that they will understand the benefits and start the journey of.
Okay. That's good. That's a good point you raised. I wanted to know, can you give us like what sort of services you offer to those musicians? Accountancy is big.
Mm.
Like, what sort of services do you offer to them?
Mostly, I would say they are IP valuation, their intellectual property valuation,
mm-hmm.
Or their catalog valuations. Like to say, maybe this song or this album is not yet distributed or not yet out, but how much is it worth? I want to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I have an album out. I want a loan in a bank and it has mm-hmm. been generating money.
Mm-hmm.
How much could the bank give me according to my album that is out?
Mm-hmm.
And also for they do not also artists know how to claim this digital income.
Yes.
They only focus on studio time, performance money,
mm-hmm.
and leave behind the distribution income or the publishing income.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly that's what you are helping with them. And mm-hmm. also to accounting,
mm-hmm.
making sure they balance their expenses and revenues that they got from their gigs or accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, they need to pay taxes. if you've received royalties from outside, mm-hmm. you are entitled to international taxes. If you've been paid in Rwanda, you are entitled to the local taxes.
Yeah,
the talon. That's what we help. We mostly help with.
Wow. With them, yeah. That you never think about that because there is talks about having YouTube becoming monetized in mm-hmm. Rwanda mm-hmm. and. Back in the days, we know that the only way you could get money mm. was if people from outside of Rwanda were accessing your
content.
Yeah. So when you said it like that, like remittance, like, you know, royalties and mm-hmm. everything, so that raises the question also, like, mm-hmm. how am I going to do it if I don't know even that royalties exist? Because we have the debate around artists mm-hmm. who lose their intellectual property mm. because they really don't have the knowledge about
the
that.
The knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say for artists, they need to own their art. First mm-hmm. of all, they need to take their song as mm-hmm. an asset or as a house. Mm-hmm. To claim those royalties or those rights, you need to register that song. Mm-hmm. When you register that song, well, there are codes, there are international codes that you get. There is international standard recording code, mm-hmm. that's for the recording side. And there is international music work code. That's mm-hmm. for the composition and the publishing side.
Yeah.
So for every artist who doesn't have those codes, that song is not yours.
Oh.
You can't even go in France or go and claim, this is my song. No. You need to be having those codes. Like land titles, you know, like they have UPI and everything.
Yeah.
So a song also has those codes.
Okay.
And as long as you do not have those codes, mm-hmm. you are only doing this as a hobby.
Yeah.
So and that's where we come in. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure you own those.
Yeah.
Like you can be a business that owns you as a writer.
Yeah.
That's the business and the concept that we tell artists.
Wow. Mm. That's really nice. That's a great initiative. Mm. So you mentioned this is not you guys' first workshop. Mm. You had the first workshop. Mm. And remind me, what was it on about?
It was on financial literacy, mostly mm-hmm. the basics, mm-hmm. budgeting, pricing, and taxation.
Okay.
Those were the main topics.
Okay. The second one?
The second one is rights and royalties management.
Rights and royalties management. Yes. And that's where the creatives came
in. Yes.
Okay. That's good. So I just wanted to know, like, why are you passionate about teaching accounting? Like, what mm-hmm. drives you in the morning to say, I want to create a workshop about, you know, mm-hmm. helping artists and people like that to learn more about mm-hmm. accounting?
Given that the workshop that we do mostly mm-hmm. is for the creatives, and I'm passionate about the creative industry, mm-hmm. but also it's a huge demand for us. Mm-hmm. But the actual clients, they don't know the benefits. They don't even know if those services are there.
Yeah,
I once talked with someone. They was like, oh. Are those services delivered here in Rwanda?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. So that's a way of teaching people mm-hmm. the importance of accounting, mm-hmm. but also getting to know what do we offer, mm-hmm. but also to get them. Mm-hmm. But the other law for I would say for this education purpose is we need to give back to the society.
Yeah.
And mostly that the knowledge I have.
Yes.
And there's a huge community that is unaware of these benefits of accounting. Mm-hmm. People don't know that they can negotiate their loans agreement.
Oh.
And I believe raising awareness of these services, it will not only benefit us, mm-hmm. but it also benefits the people or the community that would be listening or that would be the beneficiaries.
Okay, that's a really good initiative. Just the fact that in Rwanda we are taught about resilience, and also about when you are resilient, you also have to accept that you have to learn from others.
Sure.
So the fact that you guys are giving back to the community, teaching all about the importance of keeping your balance straight.
Your books balanced.
your balancing check. That's what I was about to say. So earlier in the episode, you mentioned that you were partnering with other people on the workshop. So what's the importance of having a partner with you?
I would say the reason behind this, it's, as I said, you are giving back to the community, and they are free workshops. It's free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to get venues. It's hard to, mostly venue only.
Yeah.
We take charge of the rest as a part of giving back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we partnered with Image Rwanda, first of all, it was because it was a community of artists, so it was easier to get them, and also we need a venue.
Yeah,
we need a venue. That's why we partnered with those. But also partnering with people who understand the importance of the vision. It really matters a lot, because it simplifies the process.
Yes.
We are looking forward to having other partners, and hopefully we get them and we launch.
Okay. I'm wishing you good luck, of course.
Thank you.
Yes, of course, we definitely need partners, as you said, because this is not an easy initiative, and it's not an easy ongoing. So in Kinyarwanda, we say, so we definitely need this. So moving on to the next question. You say this is not an easy undertaking.
Yeah, sure.
Like, what keeps you going when it gets hard?
I would say it's the love of this.
Mm-hmm.
The love of this. I started this not knowing that it would be my career. I would get old doing this.
It's a career
choice.
Yeah.
But also this work of us, you end up creating a deep connection, a deep relationship with your clients, to the extent it's hard to quit.
Yes.
I once wanted to quit, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And given the good relationship you build with your clients, you end up being stuck in it, and you want to develop more. But also, these days it's hard. The drive is not only me. Sometimes I can lose courage, I can lose motivation, but there are a huge thing behind me, and that really motivates me, and I love this. Love this, and I'm looking forward to what can impact the whole world. I believe this is my way of contributing to the development of the country, and I'll say making this world a better place.
This
is my way out.
Yeah, your drive and your passion is what keeps you going. Whenever you think back at it, you have people who are counting on you. You have businesses that are counting on you because they need their numbers to operate. But also, it's what drives you and what makes Daja.
It's hard to quit.
Yes.
When you have a client, you've been together since he established, and it's been 3 years.
Yes.
Telling him that you are going to quit, sometimes it gets harder. To the extent you say, "No, I'm not going to quit," I'm just going to learn on to see how I can expand this, but serve.
Yes. Serve. Mm. So, what do you believe, like, as businesses, especially the creative ones, what's your belief on them being successful? What belief do you have?
I believe creative industries then is the next, how do we call it? Is the next golden industry.
Mm-hmm. golden cup. Golden.
Yeah. So I believe that that's what it is.
Yes.
And most of the part in Africa and in Rwanda, they think it's for pleasure.
Ah.
Or it's a talent.
Yes.
Someone knows how to draw, it's a talent. Someone knows how to sing, it's a talent. Yet that talent can be monetized.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the digital era.
Yes.
You can claim money of your song that has been played in Japan while sitting here in Rwanda.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't do that without a legal team. You can't do that without an accounting team,
mm-hmm.
or well managed books.
Oh.
So I believe creatives needs more. Accounting and lawyers, mostly in creative, they are called administrators, music administrators, and creative administrators. And I believe artists needs more of music administrators or the administrators more than they need investors and labels.
Oh yes, it is the next golden cup. I'm gonna say it's the next golden cup because everything is going digital. Everything is. Everybody wants to monetize their own work.
Yeah.
And when you say that, I was thinking about NFTs, mm-hmm. like those digital.
Yes, you can release your album in NFTs.
Oh, you can?
Yes, you can.
I never thought about that.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can release your album as NFTs.
Wow.
You will only pay like, it can even reach 100 USD.
Oh wow! Oh wow! That's quite an interesting thing.
But you need to have been established as a business.
Ah.
Have linked your accounts and everything.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
It's possible. It's feasible.
that's a thing that I'm gonna keep in mind.
Yeah. Sure.
So, Elfie, if somebody wanted to work with you, where would they reach out? Like, what should they do?
It's very easy. They can just go and check our website.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Dagah Group, D A G A H Group,
mm-hmm.
and on our social medias also it's the Dagah Group.
Mm-hmm.
And on our website they can get our numbers from there.
Thank you very much. I always, whenever I'm closing off, I always leave a piece of advice or a little piece of taking for the activators or our listeners. Would you care to leave something, you know?
Yeah. I would say, apart from praying, I believe that's a common advice that can be received by anyone, apart from praying or knowing yourself better. You need to account your numbers.
Yes.
If you're a business or you want to earn money through what you do, you need accounting.
Okay. So you heard it, activators. We need numbers. We need accounting. But also remember to pray. All right. I'll see you next time.